Have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Now, look at that song, Come and Dine. In Ruth, chapter 2, and really, as you get to verses 14 through 20, we might say that that's the theme of Boaz, as he does invite Ruth to come and dine. But after she had dined, we find what she is going to do. She's going to go to the field and glean. Someone has said, and I think it's a very good statement, that worship always comes before work in the Lord's service. And that should be so true. We come to worship and we leave to serve, don't we? I mean, we have a little sign out here that as we come and worship, then we go into the fields and do what? Do the work for the Lord. And so worship should challenge us. It should encourage us as we go out to do the work of the Lord, sharing His Word and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you look, He invited her to come and sit at His table. She sat down with the reapers. What again is so marvelous about that? Here she is, just an ordinary worker in the field at that time and really didn't know she was there. But she was able to sit side by side by who? The reapers and Boaz himself. As you might say, she came to the family circle. And so tonight we find that after she has eaten, we find that the Bible says in verse, well, let me go back and as we come to verse 16. Let fall, as he explains and he shares to those reapers and to those of his servants, he said, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And that would accumulate to about 8 gallon, if I understand that ephah of barley. So she has around 8 gallon. We might say she's had a bountiful harvest, hasn't she? She has been blessed, and she has been blessed abundantly as she gleans in that field. And remember, he says, you leave what? Some for her on purpose. I don't think if she just went around the edge of the field that she would just got that. It had to be what? Left on purpose for her to accumulate an ephah or 8 gallon of barley. So we find that he makes sure that she is going to receive and she is going to have plenty. Then in verse 18 it says, she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And as you look at that word reserved, you'll find that probably in the New King James, and it says she kept back. She held back. And she was thinking of who? She was thinking of her mother-in-law, Naomi, as you read that statement. She held back for Naomi for that. And then the Bible says that as she kept that and as she reserved it, her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now, I want you to note in this little verse here, Naomi, remember, is a Jew. Hebrew. She knows and has been taught the law. She knows that Ruth, remember, is what we would describe as a young Christian. She doesn't know all these things of Hebrew laws and all these things concerning that. But when Ruth tells Naomi whose field that she's in, and who has done this, it clicks, you might say, something in Naomi's heart. Because Naomi can say, oh boy, Ruth, today has been a red letter day in your life to be in this man's field. because she knows what the law says about the kinsman. Naomi knows that, and she knows the blessings that could come and will come by Boaz being their kinsman. It's kind of like, if you want to think on this, it's kind of like to me being the firstborn in the Hebrew family. Remember, if you were the firstborn in the Hebrew family, you inherited what? You inherited the birthright, and you inherited the blessing, so to speak. Well, I think here Ruth knows that Boaz being their near kinsman, that the blessings are going to come, as we note. And then Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And look at that. And not only to the living, but to the dead. Who? Naomi is counted as what? She's just been, as you might, counted for dead. And so, as I say again, we look at that, and I want to look first and kindly just a few moments get our thoughts going where I want us to go, as we're going to talk tonight what to do with all the barley. Now remember, she's got 8 gallons. She has reserved some, or she has kept back some for her mother-in-law. Now, we apply that to us. And I just simply say tonight, what do we do with all the blessings? What do we do with all the blessings? As God blesses us, what do we do with them? And it shows in the master we serve. It's said and can be said tonight, and I think in each of our hearts, folk, don't we serve a good God? Isn't he a good God? He's not only a great God, he's a good God. And he is gracious to us. And as you say, well, what do you mean the master? Boaz was the owner and the master of that field. And now Ruth is serving a great and gracious master. Remember in Matthew 6, verse 24, when Jesus told his disciples, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to do what? You're either going to love one and hate the other, or vice versa. Now, folk, we know the devil, he's the master of many. And I'll tell you what, when you get to looking at the devil and sin, it's a hard paymaster. Because you remember, what is the wages of sin? Death, isn't it? That's a hard payday. A hard payday. The lost do not have that in their mind or thought, or they would come more to their realization of what it means to be terribly lost. Because sin as a master and the devil as a master gives a hard payday. Death. But today we have a good master. And folk, as a good master, he gives us plenty. He gives us abundancy. I thought about what Paul said in Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. As Ruth went into that field, she was a worker. She was a laborer. What kind of master did she serve? A good master. What kind of master is our Lord? Paul said he was the bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to note something. Being a bond slave had its privileges. You think about that. A bond slave had its privileges. What was that? That slave could do what? At his dispense, go in and out. He had that liberty. He wasn't bound there, but he had the liberty to do, go in and out. Do things. So are we in Christ. We don't serve out of fear. We serve out of love in our hearts. And therefore, as servants of the Lord, as reapers, so to speak, gleaners, it is a wonderful privilege to be in his field and to have him as our master. Let me give you some scriptures tonight. Psalm 68 and verse 19. What do we do with all the blessings? Listen what the Bible says. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with his benefits. God is so good to us. He is so good to us. As we think. Someone to help me tonight and read these verses for me. Malachi 3:10. And then I want someone to go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Malachi 3:10. In the windows, in the house of God, there is blessings. Blessings forevermore, but the point that we want to draw, can we outgive God? Not possible, is it? And let me say this. God abundantly gives us for our service, doesn't He? I mean, abundantly. Pours out His blessings. You may work at a job and they may have said, well, you're going to receive $10 an hour. You're not going to get any less, but you're not going to get any more. But folk, we're talking about the goodness of God. And as we serve Him, He blesses us more abundantly than we could ever think of. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 3, someone in verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Okay, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might think or ask. Have you ever seen God do that? Amen. I've seen God do that in my own life. I've seen that God do that in the life of the church, in the life of people, do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might even think or ask. And why I inject that thought is tonight, God is not a stingy God. He is not a stingy master. Boaz left plenty in that field. Do you think tonight that Ruth could ever imagine in her heart that she would have accumulated by end of the evening? Because you remember, she has ate lunch in Boaz's table, and she goes out in the evening, and she gathers 8 gallons of meal. Could you think that she ever dreamed of doing that in her life? Because she came from nothing. Remember the drought? She came, and look, here she comes back as she comes to this new place, and she's in this new field. And look what she receives abundantly above all that she even thinks of. I say this because of Boaz being the Redeemer. The blessings are flowing from Boaz. And that's where the blessings in our lives come from. It comes from above. The Bible says what? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. James 1:17. So tonight, that's the first thing. Boaz, he's the master of the field. He's the master of the house. And we see he is not stingy concerning his field and his labors. Any comments on that? Anyone with any comments on that? Note the message now that I draw from. The message or the things that we should share. We sing the song, and it's an old song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one and see what the Lord hath done. Someone has said, and it is true, we'd have to have a calculator, and then we couldn't do it, to add up all the blessings, so little, but yet in many ways so large, that the Lord has blessed us with in our lives. And as we say again, my, how He has blessed us. As we look and think about this and study this, we find that as the Lord blesses us, we in return should share our blessings with others. Amen. Isn't that the Christian life? Many times you hear people talk about the Spirit-filled life. The Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life is just a Spirit-flowing life. It flows in and it flows out. It flows in and it flows out. In this case, the Spirit produces inward joy, inward blessings, and we do what? We share them without. I'll say every time that I think of this, and I've got to share it one more time, as I would often drive to where I grew up, and I'd have to pass for several, a mile or two, what I called a swamp. Others called it a slough or something. It was just where these beavers would dam up, where the creek would go out, and there was just a lake of water out there. But the tragic thing was, everything mostly in that lake died. It did. Trees died. All those things, and the farther the water went up and stayed, it died. And when they would break the dam, oh, how the stink and the stench of it. Kind of like the Dead Sea. As you look, the Dead Sea, where the water flows in but doesn't go out. And as we look, we become dead in our lives when it just comes in and nothing goes out. Now, that not only means our material things, folk, but that means our spiritual things as well. Amen? You just think, if all we do is people encourage us and we never encourage someone else, we're going to be a discouraged person. If we just looking at things coming in, we've got to share things. And I think you'll agree in your own life, when you share things, you will feel better about yourself, and God will make you feel better within about your relationship and what you're doing in your life. So as we look, the blessings. Now, I want to use this illustration and turn with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I preached a message on this from a famine to a feast. But it goes along with what I'm trying to say tonight and what we're trying to look. My, what are we going to do with all the barley? 2 Kings chapter 7. If you'll turn there tonight, and I want you to look at what the Bible says, and we'll look at chapter 7. I'll read verse 1. Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Death, drought, death is just about coming. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" Now, what did Brother Dale read to us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10? If the Lord did what? Open what? The windows of heaven and poured you out a blessing that you just wouldn't be able to receive the abundance of it. Now, hear this servant ask, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing actually be where these things come from? And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof." And there were four lepers, men, at the entering the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit here we here until we die?" I mean, that's a pretty good, what's going to happen? Now listen what it says. "If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. If we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore come and let us fall in the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." But they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of the chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians, kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Now when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried them silver and gold and raiment, went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then said one to another, we do not well. Why? Here they are going in tent after tent. Look how rich they're getting. Look how the food they're getting. Now the tragic thing, they've got brethren that's what? Starving to death. And they made the statement, we do not well. This is not good what we're doing. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Now, I do that and apply this to the lesson, even in the case of Ruth. How that she kept back. What? That she had gleaned. She was going to do what? Keep it and put it for herself? No. She was thinking of who? Naomi. She was thinking of Naomi as she gleaned that to share it with her. Now, I know folk, and I have to say, old me, because I've been there, and I know that you go to work this week, and I go to work, and I'll tell you what, when that check came on Friday, that check was whose that I was thinking of? Mine. I'm just human. I'm not going to rise up and say I'm some spiritual human. Hey, I worked hard for that. I'm thinking of taking care of only one person with that, or the one family with that, and that's Danny's. Danny's. But you see, God has blessed us. And if He's blessed us to make our payments, and He's blessed us with these things, we're to do what? Share with others, as Ruth did. Now, I use that materially, but it's not just be taken materially. Spiritually, He's entrusted us with what? The gospel. Think about that. He's entrusted us with the gospel. Now, here I am. And I know the gospel is to go to a lost person. God has shared the gospel with me, and in turn, I should do what? The law of the desert. When there's water, you do what? Share it. Share it. And the gospel is that joy, it's the water for our souls, and we're to share that. It does not do us well, as these say, to keep it hid, share it in our blessings. And I'm going to meddle just a moment right here, but that'd be all right, won't it? Many times in our lives, even as churches, God blesses us with a talent. We're to do what? Share it. Share it with others. If He's blessed you with the talent of sharing God's word and giving you that, you ought to share that word. And we share it with each one of us as we look. Brother Ronald went out Sunday night and my thoughts on, gave me and shared with me this thought as he had read in how that Ruth kept back. See how many blessings and how that others can input you and bring a thought and thing. We're all in this together. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. Amen. That's who it's about tonight. But let me share this with you. Many times in our lives as churches, our number one job is to preach the gospel. If you call it a job, it ought to be a privilege. Preaching the gospel. And I've seen it and I've dealt with it. I have dealt with it. Churches get an abundance of money in the treasury. I've been where there's $85,000. I've been where there's $100,000. That's right. In the treasury. You say, Brother Danny, that's good. No, that's not good. As Archie Campbell would say, that's bad. You say, why? Because we get to the point where we don't want to do what? Share it. And bless your heart, I thank God for Brother Donald and Brother Dale and Brother Richard over here as deacons and Brother Leland. But I have had deacons I have had them to get me and call me and said, Brother Danny, we've got all this money and here's our missionaries. And Brother Danny, we need to support missions. Amen. And here I go, get up in the pulpit and talk about missions. And guess what they do? Cut the plank right out from under me. When I bring up to support a missionary, do you think that deacon is going to make the motion? He's the dead one against it. Been there and done it, folk, or did it. You see, what we need to see tonight, as we share our blessings, God will do what? Will pour in more blessings to our lives. And so he does it in the book of Ruth. He just continually pours in the blessings to her life. She is a Christian, young Christian, and she learns this lesson. Any comments on that? Let's look at the first verse here as we look and as we study. And we're going to look first of all at the enrichment that God blesses brings, how it enriches our life personally. And that statement in the New Testament where Jesus said it is better to give than to receive, that's certainly a blessing, that's certainly a truth. But as I say, this is Ruth's red letter day because Naomi knows it. When she mentions Boaz, and she knows Boaz is her next of kin, she knows it's her red letter day. Can we say tonight, our red letter day was when we came to trust Christ as our Savior. That's our red letter day. That's right. In more ways than one than you think. You say, that was my red letter day because he delivered me from the penalty of sin. And he did. He did. He gave unto us life. But when we came to Christ, we began to discover that we have more than just fire insurance. We have many opportunities and blessings in the kingdom of God. And as we do, look at John 10, verse 10. It's all about his wealth. John 10 and 10. As we look, here's what we find. I'm come that you might have life. The devil, he comes to deceive and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life. Not only spiritual life, eternal life, but life more abundantly. As we live for him, his blessings flow. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man, the Bible said, should abound with blessing. And he does. And in the believer's life, so it is. Note what God's blessings did for Ruth. What did they do for her? It gave her more knowledge concerning Boaz. It made her aware that God was faithful in his promises. She made and realized that as she grew in her knowledge of the Lord, 1 Peter 3:18, that is, grow in his word, she became more aware in her life that God was faithful to his promises, that his ableness was able to do anything, his power. And she began to realize his perfect ways as she learned about him. But I want to share with you a couple of things tonight that she really learned. We're going to have to go back to the early verses. Look at Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3 very quickly. As she really began to learn, and we do the same in our lives, as we really begin to learn and such these things in our life. Ruth chapter 2, and I believe verse 3. Note what he says to us. It says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her help was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Look at that word help again. And I want you to say again, that help did not mean it was just her chance. It just doesn't mean that it was just her good luck. That help has a greater spiritual meaning. She came to learn as she looked back about God's providence, his providence. And we look back in our lives, and every one of us, by looking backward many times, can see the providence of God as it has worked in our lives. We may not understand it while it's happening to us, but we can learn, look back and see how we've learned about His providence. Now, we hear about that word all the time, but what is providence? What is providence? Doesn't it mean God is controlling all things? He's controlling all things. I mean, you say, is someone in control? Yes, they are. And it's God. He's controlling all things. And I've looked and I've learned that in my life so many times by looking backward. I've learned that about God and His providence. And we've learned another thing about His providence, that all things will ultimately work for good. His purpose will be carried out. He has a plan for our lives. That's providence, that He's in control. Aren't you glad He is tonight? He's in control. And the second thing, as we look here and think about that, was His provision. How did He provide it for her? Look at verse 14. Boaz said unto her, mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip the morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers. He reached for the parched corn. This is when they were at the mealtime, and she did eat and was sufficient and left. The Bible says in verse 17, she gleaned in the field unto evening and beat out as she had gleaned, and it was an ephah of barley. Now look here, and it might not be polite to say, but as she sat at the table, her belly, her stomach became full. When she left and went into the field, and at eventime, what happened? Her basket was full. What is that? I mean, here it is. She's appreciating His provision as He provided for her. My tonight, look at some of these verses. Look at Philippians 4:19. Someone turn there, and I know you know that, but someone turn there and read that. Philippians 4, verse 19. Amen. Haven't we learned that too? That, I mean, things may get tight sometimes, but what does God do? He provides for us. Matthew chapter 6 teaches us that, how He provides and watches for us. What were the words of David in Psalm 37:25? I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Francis and I were talking about coming, I think, Sunday to services. And we were talking about how that mothers and daddies, how that people had it hard during the Depression, and how that many times all they sat down to, if they had it for breakfast, was cornbread. And that would be tough. And, I mean, I've eaten cornbread and milk a lot of times. And as you say, well, you're just eating it for a fancy. They weren't eating it for a fancy. They were eating it for their livelihood, because that was all they had. Many times today we sit down, we think we have to have a meat for every meal. Folk, I can remember in my life where meat didn't come but only on Sundays. And sometimes it didn't come on Sundays. You ever remember those days? But I'll tell you what, God provided. God provided abundantly for us. And He provides abundantly for His children. Ruth was learning. She was learning to trust in Him. It wasn't something God just poured in right there, but she was learning in her life. As someone said, she kind of went to the classroom and she went out in the field and she grasped some experience, and how that God was showing her that He was blessing her with the things that He had bestowed upon her. And then in verse 10, look what she does. She fell on her face. She bowed herself to the ground and said unto Him, why have I, who am I, that I have found this grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take of myself, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger. Here I'm from the land of Moab. I'm a stranger to the Hebrew people. Who am I? And so you look tonight. Who am I? Here we are Gentiles. Who are we to be brought in into God's plan and purpose? Only through the grace of God. She showed what? Appreciation. You see, the blessings came. She wasn't covetous. She showed her appreciation and thankfulness by sharing them to others. Humility and thankfulness. gratefulness in the heart of this person, Ruth. And you get to learn to know Ruth. I mean, she's a wonderful person. You can see her heart as you get to know her in these scriptures and what she's doing in her life and God's doing through her life. How rich are we? How rich are we? Now, we would say first, Brother Danny, let me look at my checkbook. Well, I couldn't look for Francis Totes hours, but it's not very, very great many times. Many times it might get slack. But for the Christian, as you've heard this many times, the Christian doesn't have to look at his checkbook or her checkbook to find out how rich we are. Amen. We're rich in Christ Jesus. Rich in Him. And folk, you listen. The checkbook may reflect, but I want to tell you something. The Word of God reveals how rich we are if we look into God's Word. Found this little statement, and it kind of brought a tickle to my face and heart. This little girl, her father was a radio announcer, DJ, when they used to have radio stations. But anyway, she invited some friends over. And she invited these friends over. They sat down to eat. And this little girl was asked to say the blessing. And as she said before she said the blessing, it said that she cleared her throat. And she made this statement. The food friend is coming to you through the courtesy of Almighty God. Amen. The blessings. The little youngsters, as they sang the little songs, what? As the blessing comes down, the prayers go up, but it's all coming down. It's all coming down. And you're going to see that it's all coming down. But then you're going to see what Ruth, in these next couple of verses, is going to do with these blessings. Any comments? I've run out of time. And I think my time is... Yes, okay. I've lost time, folk. I'm sorry. Any comments or questions? Any comments or questions? Yes, sir.